Expect the best at TheRugShopOmaha.com. We have hundreds of quality rugs from the best names in the business. All 10% off our everyday low price. And you always get free shipping with TheRugShopOmaha.com.
On Sportsmanlike Conduct on 1620 The Zone alongside Matt Schick filling in today for Michael Sevier. I'm Kevin Kugler. After 4 o'clock, Josh Brown of the St. Louis Rams, formerly of the Seattle Seahawks, and of course former Husker, will join us on the program as we continue to parade out a variety of former Huskers who have played in the Super Bowl. Fortunately for us, the number is 47, and that kills an entire week here leading up to the Super Bowl since we're not in Tampa, Florida. That's the positive of having a program that has produced a lot of former Huskers that go on to play in the Super Bowl. We're happy to have with us Doug Gottlieb, who has made his way out of the frigid Midwest and is back in the frigid Northeast from ESPN, joining us here on Unsportsmanlike Conduct. Did you enjoy your stay in beautiful Nebraska, Doug?
Yeah, I went to the Haymarket District both the last few nights to have dinner. And I like Lincoln. I like Lincoln and Omaha. You know, my mom and dad used to live in Omaha, obviously, when my dad was an assistant way back when in Creighton. Obviously, times have changed dramatically. But, with the exception of the cold, there's nothing wrong. You know, it's better than plenty of other spots. Oh, and apparently my daughter's lovey is wet. I'm not really sure how that happened, too. So those are the late-breaking stories.
That's exciting news. Do I have to do anything with that, or can I or not? I
have... No, that's not really. I don't think we should put that on the bottom line crawl.
All right.
On ESPN. No, that Harper Gottlieb's lovey being wet is not an updating story. It's not a breaking story. It's something we kind of expected.
I have two daughters of my own, and I very rarely have their breaking news. So I guess we'll just leave that where it is. Let's talk about that game last night. How far away do you think Nebraska is? Can they get to a point where they're a regular, competitive, top six team in the Big 12?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. I think they're really, really close. I mean, obviously this year with a lack of size, but I mean, the first thing you have to do is create an environment where guys are going to play above their level in terms of giving you great effort. And I agree with Doc. I heard his post-game comments. That team plays hard, man. You know, what they lack in substance and style, they make up for in sheer will and determination. I don't think they're that far off. And I credit him with being a better guy than I am. I mean, Diaz could help them. And he left it up to the kid. The kid said, "Coach, I want a red shirt." So he didn't play him when the entire coaching staff thinks, especially the offensive end inside, something they're sorely lacking. He could help them right now. So, they have the big German kid sitting out who they think can score. And Barry Collier he didn't have good enough players left around. Barry Collier's a good man, but the players weren't good enough. We all knew it. And I think Doc's done it the right way, and it's slowly building up a base of talent. They're quick. They're athletic. They play really hard. Good defense. They just, don't have enough pure skill at the offensive end nor size at either end of the floor to be one of those teams. But I think they're on the right path, and they're not cutting corners to get there.
You touched on Diaz. I'll ask you about it real quick. None of us have really seen the guy play, only maybe practice or shoot a jump shot or lay in every once in a while in pregame warmups. But at what point does it benefit a guy to just get out there and experience it, even if he doesn't think he's ready to play?
Well, I mean, I've never been a guy that believes you learn anything from sitting.
Yeah.
I just don't. But there is something to be said for building up your body, building up your strength, and getting in physical condition. I'm just not sure he's aware of, and just how dire need of some inside scoring this team is. And probably mentally with his issues, getting his test score, he probably didn't mentally get to the point where he actually thought he was going to play. Now it's upon him, and maybe he's a little bit nervous. It's one of those things where everyone thinks that they are ready, they can play, and then they get out there, and you're really hesitant, and it just takes one kind of big play. I mean, I remember my first two exhibition games in Notre Dame where I didn't play particularly well, and then I got into the game like 4 minutes in against, I think it was Akron, and like second trip down through an alley-oop, and I was like, hey, I belong, I can do this, you know? And so, sometimes you just need one thing to go well. But, Doc has stood by his promise to the kid to redshirt him if he wants to redshirt, and that's what Diaz has said he wants to do.
Doug Gottlieb joining us from ESPN as we look back to last night, Nebraska and Kansas, and look ahead in the Big 12 season. Kansas is a team that's got an awful lot of young talent. They're going to just get better and better as this year goes along, aren't they?
I think they are. I mean, I don't know if they're going to get to the point that they thought they would, because they really believe that Mario Little could be a 14-15 a game guy. And I just don't think he's there yet, because he's still kind of more of a four-man than a three-man. And, you know, then I think you look at
hold on a second. No worries.
I got one. I've been away for a couple of days, and I got one that's a little – she's a daddy's girl. She's a little sad that I'm talking on the phone to talking to her. But they're going to get better. They are very similar to the team 3 years ago. The only difference is I don't think their freshmen are as good as those freshmen were. I mean, let's be honest. Appleton is a badly overrated point guard, supposed to be a junior college, you know, stud point guard. He can't play. The Twins are okay. I don't think they'll ever be at the level of any of the big men that they had finish last year. Tyshawn Taylor, I think, has a chance to be a really special four-year player. So in comparison to 3 years ago, when you had Darrell Arthur and, you know, you had some of the other youngsters, the Mario Chalmers of the world, I'm not sure you're going to see that type of NBA talent, these guys. But they do have a really good base. And then the league's a bit down. And Cole Aldrich, when he's, you know, not rushing things, not in foul trouble, is becoming a very good center. And then Sherron Collins at times can take over a game offensively and simply win it for you. So they're going to keep getting better, but they need Mario Little to be more of a weapon at the offensive end.
I want to get back to Nebraska real quick. You can see it from last night that these guys have bought into Doc's style of play. They want to play relentless, both ends of the floor, baseline to baseline. But at what point do these successive losses, where they lose in the last 3 to 4 minutes, start to play and affect the player's mindset and attitude about taking the court?
Well, I mean, now you got a couple of road games. I mean,
yeah,
that can happen on the road, but to happen at home, that's really hard. But I do think this is where you'll find out if Doc has the team, you can't lose the team. That's what real coaching is. You know, so often we talk about the greatest coaching jobs are, you know, what Keno Davis had going last year at Drake. Well, you know, when things are going well and everybody's making shots and you're finding ways to win games, you're not doing as much coaching, you know. Where you're coaching, I mean, really coaching and really motivating players and manipulating their different egos to work. And you know, you're taking the phone calls from the parents, and you're taking the phone calls from the AAU coaches, and you're finding a way to make everybody still feel good about themselves when, you know, they're not on the top line of the sports page and no one thinks they're going to the NCAA tournament. That's when you're really earning your, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of $1 million a year salary. And as much as, you know, you'd like to think that, you know, real coaching is winning a Big 12 championship, to me, it's the guys who at the midseason point still find a way to get those guys in the locker room to believe they're really close. And if you just stick with it, eventually you'll make shots. And I don't think we pay enough attention to it on the national level, but that's there's kind of a magical mix there that you can go through these bumps in the road and really have nothing kind of truly to play for and still get your team to fight its way to an NIT. And then the NIT is, you know, still, again, it's about coaching. Can you get your guys to try and win a tournament where no one really outside of, you know, your own locker room cares if you win the tournament? And that really, you know, getting that 20-win season is real coaching.
Doug Gottlieb's our guest, joining us from ESPN. Is this Big 12 conference Oklahoma and then everybody else?
It's beginning to look that way. Although, yeah, you know, let's see what they do on the road at Texas. I mean, the big change is that Austin Johnson's really playing. I mean, Griffin's a beast, and Willie Warren's a big-time talent. And then Griffin plays really well with his brother, obviously. And now they've added Wampatillo in there. They're just better inside than everybody else. But they weren't getting great point guard play until the last month. And I think that's changed everything, that Austin Johnson is now not just a facilitator, but he's kind of taken over games.
Doug Gottlieb joining us from ESPN. You mentioned Griffin, and we were talking about this yesterday. I think he's an amazing player, But the one thing that always annoys me about a Blake Griffin, and it's an annoyance I have with a lot of different athletes, is that it is the glare and the stare and the chest pounding and everything else. Does that distract you, or are you so used to seeing it?
Are you
just
kidding?
Oh,
really?
No. Drives me nuts.
This kid has gotten hit in the family jewels. He's gotten stripped. He's gotten bloodied, and he's never done anything about it. All he's gone out and done is set a record for the most 20 and 15 performances in Big 12 history. If there's a glare there, if there's some sort of snarling, I got a much bigger issue with Cookie Mueller last night, like trying to instigate something. You know, it takes away from how hard Nebraska is playing that he goes in there when Kansas is laying on the floor and tries to rip the basketball away and then makes a big deal out of absolutely nothing. No, I totally disagree with you. I think Blake Griffin has handled himself like a champ. Matter of fact, most NBA scouts I've talked to are more impressed with his demeanor than any of the other guys at his level over the past couple of years, whereas, you know, Michael Beasley kind of played like he didn't care, and Kevin Durant played with a great smile on his face. He plays with a determined look, but has taken, I mean, physical abuse. I mean, I was a little upset at some of the Oklahoma State guys there, and I kind of taking some cheap shots when he go for a jump shot, just two hands shoving him to the floor. He doesn't get up and get in their face. He doesn't come back and take a cheap shot. He just goes out and plays. I would disagree with you on that.
Doug Gottlieb joining us here on the Sportsmanlike Conduct. We received more than a few emails, Doug, about your comment about Cookie Mueller last night. Did you – I missed this. Kevin missed this. Did you call Cookie Mueller a punk, and would you clear to
– I said he was acting like a punk.
Okay.
There's a difference.
Oh, yeah. No, there is. That's why I asked. I clarified.
He absolutely was acting like a punk. And so, you know, go back and watch the tape if you guys want. But he was acting like a punk. And at the same time, during the same replay, I talked about how hard, you know, Ryan Anderson diving on the floor, and I don't know who else is diving on the floor. I mean, that's how basketball is supposed to be played. Close game, you're getting after it, both teams. And if you look at the replay, there are 10 guys on the floor. 9 of them are just standing up, dusting themselves off, getting ready for the next play. And Cookie Miller's trying to rip the basketball out of Mario Little's hands, which, you know, he wasn't throwing any punches, and he didn't deserve to be thrown out of the game. He's acting like a little punk.
Doug Gottlieb, ESPN. See, now you're a hit again on message boards in Nebraska, Doug, and I know that's your main goal, is to be a hit on message boards. Doug Gottlieb.
You know, I check the message boards as often as possible. I always think that's a good way to gauge to see what people think. Because people that have enough. No, I have no problem with the message boards, and it doesn't matter to me if someone doesn't like it. I stand by what I said. I mean, you know, look, we'll make mistakes on pronunciations every now and again. But I thought, well, Shoes and I, we did a good job. We actually talked to the refs after the game, and I'll tell you one thing. You know, I've known Doc. You know, Doc was Eddie Sutton's assistant, and when he was at West Ark, he used to come in every year, and they play some exhibition like practice games and work out every day, work out for an entire day with their players on our floor against other junior colleges, and then they'd stay and watch our practice at night. So I'd known Doc for a while. I was really kind of proud of Doc that he didn't. I guess the difference in, you know, ESPN and New York media, whatever, and in Nebraska is, I can't believe the first question when he got to the press conference wasn't about the foul. But nonetheless, some coaches would have gone off about the foul mm-hmm. when he hadn't seen it. And if you've seen it a couple times, yeah. It's a good call. And we actually you know, ran into the officials afterwards, and I told Rick Hartzell, I said, you know what, that was not an easy game to officiate, but that was a good call, and they appreciated it, and we mentioned on air. So, yeah, I mean, if Nebraska fans are only mad because I said he was acting like a bunk, fine. I think it's kind of inarguable. And look, as having been the former smallest man on the floor in a Big 12 game,
right.
I know. Look, I've done similar deals. Like my senior year when Pfizer was dominating the league, we played them in the semifinals, and they beat us. But, like, the third play of the game, we had a sophomore center named Fred Yancin. And, I mean, Fizer tried to take his head off. And so I got right in Fizer's face. We go chest to, well, I wasn't really chest to chest. I was face to chest. And, you know, it was one of those, if you're going to come through him, you got to come through all of us, some sort of deal. And so, I mean, look, I know what Cookie Mueller goes through being the smallest. But in the kind of instigating, it was borderline instigating a fight. And I hate when it takes away from how well the game was, how hard the game was being played, and how purely athletic the game was, to just sit there and, you know, try and rip the ball out, try and start something, kind of try and punk the other guy, and then instigate the crowd. Like, I don't know. That's just not my deal.
Doug Gottlieb of ESPN.
There's a lot of Jason Sutherland to that. That's what it was.
Yeah, well, believe me, that's never a nice thing to say. Hey, Doug, thanks so much for the time. Enjoy the evening with your family. Thanks for taking time for us.
Yeah, sorry to filibuster you guys, but I got a 2-year-old here that she wants my attention. So
No, not at all. I'm glad you filibustered and now go spend time with her. Thanks, man. We appreciate it.
All right. See you, fellas.
Doug Gottlieb of ESPN, our guest here on this. Fair explanation, I think.
No, that's fine. And I'm glad that he brought up about him being a former player, because anyone who watched Doug Gottlieb play knows that he was kind of like that. He liked to get in guys' faces, so he understands it. But he's now a journalist. Now he's a guy watching the games objectively, and he can call it like that, even though he once was like that. He hasn't forgotten where he's from, but he can see it from more mature eyes.
All right, it's Unsportsmanlike Conduct. We'll take a short break. When we return, we'll spend some time talking Super Bowl. Clark Judge of CBS Sports is going to join us from Tampa next. It's Unsportsmanlike Conduct on 1620 The Zone.